Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, we'll recap senior weekend for the A-State baseball team. Women's golf with a good showing in their first ever postseason appearance. We'll talk all about that. Men's golf currently competing at the NCAA Regionals. The first Howl on Wheels road show, also just a few days away. But we're going to start out with track and field. They were at the Sunbelt Conference Outdoor Championships in Monroe this past week. The women finishing third, the men finishing fifth. Some of the individual winners we want to point out here include Hannes Fall. He took the Sunbelt Conference title in the men's 800. Cash Kunkel winning the men's steeplechase. How about a 1-2 finish for the Red Wolves in the women's steeplechase? Lizzie Martin takes gold. Cadence Lapp with the silver. Willem Kurtzen wins the men's shot put. Our buddy Colby Eddowes breaking his own meet record to win the decathlon. What a year he's had. And one other champion we want to mention here, taking the gold in the women's pole vault, clearing a facility record at 3.97 meters. It's Bella Cassetti, who happens to be joining us in studio right now. How are you, Bella?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you sweep the indoor and outdoor pole vault titles in the same year. Was that a goal for you going into the season?
It definitely was a goal. An indoor season, I was just kind of wanting to medal. I really wanted to go in there and just kind of have the best performance I could. And then I didn't know I won, and that was exciting. At the end, they told me I won because it was off of misses, and so that was really cool. And then going into outdoor, I wanted to have that same goal. And what a blessing that was to have both of those.
So in track and field, right, I think if you run a marathon, you're nuts. I think,
just to be clear,
and we've talked before about some of our athletes have done the steeplechase. It seems crazy to run through the water in this day and age where people want to take care of their feet. It just seems like wrecking them. Blisters waiting to happen. You got to be part nuts. But I don't know if anybody's nuttier than pole vaulters. So we want to unpack this thing and figure out what happens in one's life to make them think they can fling themselves over high targets with a long pole.
Well, when I was 4, I started track, and I've done just about every event. And I had seen my cousin do pole vaulting in high school, and then my mom kind of thought, maybe this is something we should try. Because before, I had been kind of strong in the multi. I did something like that, and then I was in high jump, and then I thought pole vault, because that just looked so crazy. It just looked so fun and exhilarating, and it was really hard at first, and thankfully, it took off pretty well a couple years, and then for 6 years, I didn't have a PR. So coming into college, my freshman year really was tough. I went through a couple things, and then sophomore year looked really well, and I cleared 13 feet, and my previous PR had been 12:10. And so it was just really great to see it come back around and build off of that and go into this season with that experience.
Are you trying to say you went from 13 to 19? Age-wise, without breaking your personal best?
So freshman year high school, my PR was 12:10 in indoor season. And then coming into sophomore year, that was when I had PR'd again. So I don't actually know the years on
A little bit of a pun here, but you set a really high bar for yourself at 13 years old.
It was really crazy. The expectation my freshman year was pretty high, and then that didn't happen. So I went through a really tough time for a while trying to build back up, and I think during that time is where I built a closer relationship with God, especially coming into college, not being as close to my family distance wise. And really there is where I felt the growth, and seeing that come together this year for indoor and outdoor season was really incredible to see and such a blessing, and just grateful for that experience.
I do want to go back on something you said there. I didn't know they had track meets for 4-year-olds. That's a thing, huh?
The summer meets is intense.
Tell me about your family. Are they athletes too?
So my mom and dad were athletes, and my sister did go to college. She did tennis and cross country, so she set the bar pretty high there. She mainly sang.
Uh-huh.
And she also is in like journalism and broadcasting and things like that. Like she used to be an anchor. So you know, she's, you know, I respect what you guys do and I love that. But you know, they were athletes and they're in Texas right now because I graduated in Colorado and then they moved back to Texas because that's originally where I was from.
All right. Now you're from Manitou Springs.
Yes, sir.
Colorado. I Googled this place. It looks amazing. It's a resort town near Colorado Springs, and we went to Colorado Springs with the basketball team here in the last couple of years. Absolutely beautiful. That had to be an interesting place to live.
Once I did move over there, it was amid COVID, and so, like, couldn't really connect with people, but you could connect with the scenery, and it's just gorgeous. And I did the incline once, and I got to go and do all those, like, sights and things like that during that time, and it was really gorgeous, and I miss it, and hopefully I can go back this summer.
Where did you grow up in Texas?
I grew up near Corpus Christi, Texas. So I was in a little town like Refugio and Woodsboro in the area. But I was mainly near the coast down there.
How do you end up at Arkansas State?
So when I was in Colorado, I was, you know, going through that recruiting process and stage, and our coach, you know, Matt Vining, had reached out, and it was towards the end of like my junior year, and came over here on a visit, and I really loved this place. I loved the environment, getting to see like the track and just like kind of the connection between like the athletes and the coaches, and especially like our head coach. They all like said really good things, and I felt like this would be a really good fit.
I would kind of backtrack just a second, because I'm the mental approacher. How do you keep frustration from setting, and forget even your first year of college, even as a sophomore, junior, senior in high school? Because you go set a mark like that as a ninth grader, you think, well, it's just going to keep going up, up, up from there. So how do you keep from getting frustrated when you didn't beat the mark you did way back in ninth grade?
Is you truly like connect with like the passion and the belief that what, you know, your God-given gift. My mom and my family pushed me to like stay in it, you know, just trust that it's going to come back. You know, you'll get there. Just keep moving forward and keep trusting that what's, you know, what's meant for you will come. And so it really was frustrating mentally, aside from just the sport itself, because it is, people say it's like 90% mental. And so, I mean, that's very true, the love-hate relationship there. But when you do clear those bars, it's just that much more incredible knowing after all the things that you went through.
Well, and then to get to Arkansas State, I know it had to be encouraging for you knowing that you'd work with such an outstanding track program, and the coaches you mentioned with Dr. Jim Patchell, and I know you work very closely with Coach Matt Vining. So what is it they've done to kind of help you raise your level?
I think that in this, you know, aspect, especially with the incoming next year with Iron Will Sharpen Iron, especially, you know, seeing all these athletes currently, but I know that our growth next year with the vaulters coming in will hopefully, like God willing, like get us up there in rankings for like the pole vault group. And so just that fire in between the coaches and the athletes wanting to be better, you know, working on the personal growth and in the weight room and in conditioning, knowing that every day matters, you know, like pushing that aspect is really where I think that the coach athlete, you know, interaction is successful there.
I would say maybe since you got to Arkansas State, unless you did it before you got here, then that'd be even better. But what you learn about Jonesboro is kind of a low-key pole vault town with a lot of history at Arkansas State. And a lot of that, you know, obviously one of the big names, that's Earl Bell, who still runs this facility in town. And, I mean, I think people would be shocked sometimes at the number of Olympians who are in Jonesboro at any given time training to pole vault. So when'd you learn that there's quite a little pole vault scene here?
When I came here on a visit, I knew of, you know, kind of like Earl Bell and Bell Athletics, so I got to see that. And we get to train over there a couple times when it's like raining outside or just the weather's kind of crazy and we need some practice. And getting to work over there and seeing on like the board all of like the Olympians and things like that, it's truly inspiring. And we have Michael Carr that also jumps with us from time to time. He's also an incredible vaulter. So getting to be around that environment and seeing, you know, what to work for just in things like that and how to get better, like push you for sure.
Is it intimidating knowing that those people have been around?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's both. It's inspiring and intimidating.
Well, there's quite a history with the pole vault here, and obviously you're having great success right now. But obviously we got to talk about this. There had to be some mixed emotions coming back from Monroe last week, because there's such a high bar with this program right now, and it's got to the point where you're expecting the team to win the conference championship every time it takes place. Swept the indoors, men and women, but mentioned the third place finish for the women and the fifth place finish for the men this past week. So I know you're excited about your individual win, but was there some mixed emotions coming back?
Definitely was bittersweet, because everyone, you know, there were individual things across the board that were great and we were excited about. But, you know, as any sport, like injuries happen and things like that that come at last second, you know, just as a team building each other up through that and knowing that we just need across the board to work on, you know, our personal goals. And that's what's the beauty in that, getting to see everyone, you know, work at it, knowing that we may come in, like we're coming in with that mentality of we want to win. And we stayed, you know, fighting toward like till the end, you know, so that was tough to lose. But I think that that's going to give us a lot more fire coming into fall training and coming into like season next year, working towards that again, just refocusing and encouraging others, you know, to keep going.
You guys, to your credit, you created this environment where everybody expects you to win when you go to a conference meet. Like I said, that you guys caused that by winning a lot. But as you mentioned, more injuries than probably people knew about, and some roster changes and this and that. And how much did you guys feel like, even though you knew nobody else cared and they still thought you guys were probably the team to beat, how much did you guys know going in that this one might be a little bit more of an uphill battle than some of the others?
Coach Patchell had told us that this time it would be a little bit more difficult. So just to keep our mentalities in it, you know, that we need to each individually go at it as much as we possibly can and encourage each other when we're done with our events and go in with the cadence running, you know, in the steeple, and Lizzie also there, and when Colby and the Maltese start us off pretty well, and everyone, you know, just working really hard. We knew it was going to be difficult, but I'm encouraged to see what's going to come about next year with that.
For you personally, here you are as a sophomore and you're the indoor and outdoor Sun Belt champion now. So what's your long-term goals?
My goals for next year will probably be, you know, working towards regionals and outdoors, the 13-6 bar, building strength, endurance, you know, things like that, just so that I can try to go at that again, even though I know that what we're going to, like, our conference is building and getting stronger each year, and I think that that's going to push me as well to want to do better, and I can't wait.
What's your status in the classroom right now? What are you majoring in?
I'm a criminology major, and thankfully, I got a 4.0 this semester, hey, which I'm really excited about.
Way to go.
I mean, I kept coming in with like 1B. One class would get me every time.
So what do you want to turn that into?
I hope to be a criminal investigator. I'm not too sure, you know, exactly what I want to do with it. My dad does this,
Really?
You can help me with that, the connections-wise, which I'm excited about with that.
Well, now we got to stay here for a second. What's he do? Tell me about his job.
He's also a criminal investigator as well.
For?
So he is retired military.
Okay.
So he, you know, works as like a civilian now. He works like on military bases.
Wow.
That's pretty sound.
Interesting.
Exciting
field.
Stuff, yeah.
So what's your summer plans? Do you go back home? Do you go to Texas and work out?
That's the plan. Like, I am in the midst of packing right now, which, you know, you don't actually, like, understand, like, how much your parents do for you with packing and moving houses and things like that until you're doing it. So getting packed up and ready to go probably tomorrow and get back, you know, take a couple weeks off and then training and maybe a couple summer meets and just to stay in that competitive aspect.
What else are you into around here?
That's really tough because I like to run, and here I got to go to church, you know, have a new church family over here and stay connected with my family and friends. So, you know, I keep it low key.
Well, Bella, we are really, really excited you're here. Excited about you winning another Sun Belt Conference Championship. Again, congratulations. Have fun this summer, and good luck as you go into next year.
Thank you.
That's Bella Cassetti joining us here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. We've got more to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Baseball had their final home series of the season this past weekend against Southern Miss. Before we talk about the details of the series, that Southern Miss team,
yeah,
they are fantastic. And of course, we've seen the Cajuns and Troy now, and they're both really, really good too. But I think overall, that team may be the best we've seen.
It's interesting for me to hear you say that because, you know, I really only see in person the home series.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back obviously saying, as a matter of fact, made the comment in the office today, I think Southern Miss is the best team I've seen. So you've seen the rest of them. So I'm glad to kind of hear you think that too, because for my money, yeah, they're the best team I'd seen. Now, I do think, I don't know week in and week out kind of what they do at the number three starter spot, because they had that as a TBA this weekend. But as far as front end top two starters and then their lineup, there's as good as I saw.
Heck of a game on Friday night.
Yeah.
It was tied at two after seven, but Southern Miss scores three in the top of the eighth and they win 5-2. And yeah, there was great pitching that night from Billy Oldham, the preseason all-conference pick for Southern Miss, but Cole Turner was fantastic.
Yep.
He went 5 2/3 and was right there with them.
Here's the thing. The longer the weekend went, the better Cole Turner got.
Yeah, you realize how good he was.
Because you start saying, my gosh, he pitched good Friday night.
One of the big highlights outside of Cole Turner's pitching Friday was an inside-the-park home run from senior Blake Burris in his final home series, able to do something that had not been done by a Red Wolf at Tomlinson Stadium since 2018. And you kind of had the feeling as soon as it landed and as quick as Blake was getting around the bases that he was going to be able to score. And that's the most exciting thing whenever anybody's able to do that. But neat to see an inside
landed,
the park home run.
You know, perfectly between their center and left fielders, who then, you know, on top of that, as the ball bounced away from them, they got tangled up with one another. And by that point, yeah, this is going to be an inside the park home run. And it was, yeah, cool to see. And then plus, you know, Hager homers and DeBeauty homers and a lot of other stuff over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, Saturday, Southern Miss scored 6 unearned runs in the first inning. So a nightmare of a start in that game. And then 6 more in the second. I mean, it's 12-0 after 2, and it's just one of those days.
Mm-hmm.
They go on to win 19-3, and that was the day Dylan DeBeauty homered, another one of the seniors. That was the lone bright spot in that game. And then Sunday, it wasn't a good start. We were down 5-1 early in that game.
Well, I mean, even more than that, you're down 3-0, what, 4 batters in, because I got 4 straight base hits. And honestly, it's starting to look just like Saturday.
Yeah, 3-0 with nobody out in the top of the first. And that's what you were thinking. Deja vu.
Yeah.
And it's 5-1 at one point, but I thought our guys showed some fight. They come back and take the lead at 6-5. And you mentioned the home runs. Brandon Hager finally got his first Hager bomb of the season, his 26th career home run. He's now second, tied for second with Jeff Desmond on the career home runs list at A-State. And Jared Toler, who we've talked about a lot lately, he started the last 15 games, and he hit his first home run of the season, his 14th career home run.
Ooh. But it was a bomb, too.
It was neat to see those two both homer on their senior day. But after the Red Wolves had taken the lead in the bottom of the fourth, couldn't get that shutdown inning. They scored five in the top of the fifth, and we just couldn't recover.
And a shutdown inning is going to be hard to come by. I like what Coach Raffo had to say, is that really is over the course of the weekend, and yesterday I know not so much, but didn't give a lot of free stuff. But in the midst of that kind of that big inning, the walks were unfortunate because there were walks in the spot he kind of had stuff set up for. The walks we had in that inning were in the lefty-lefty, righty-versus-righty matchups where you kind of were setting the inning up for. And then you didn't get a couple close pitches there. And then they're just so loaded up with left-handers in that lineup. They're 1-2-3 guys, McIntyre, and their shortstop, Pratt. And Slade Wilkes, who's now on a 24-game hit streak. They went 24 for 45.
Wow. Yeah, when your top third is hitting over 500 for a weekend, that's going to be really tough to beat. Southern Miss was able to complete the sweep, eliminating the Red Wolves from postseason contention. The Red Wolves will not go to the Sun Belt Conference Tournament this year, but hopefully can finish the season strong. They'll be in Monroe this weekend playing the final series of the season. It's a Thursday through Saturday series, Thursday at 6, Friday at 6, and Saturday at 1. We'll take another time out. Be back to wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Back one more time here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. Well, the golf teams certainly deserving of some headlines this week. The men's golf team currently playing at the NCAA Regionals in Austin, Texas. And I know at the time we're recording on Monday, they're off to a good start.
Yeah, as we're sitting here, you know, they've played just right around their front nine and, you know, tie for fifth as we sit here, literally. It's a deal where, hey, fifth is what you want to finish. I mean, fourth, third, second, all the other things are great, but you just need to finish fifth to move on. And that's been a good start for the Red Wolves.
The women's golf team, congratulations to them. They had a nice showing at the Golf Week National Golf Invitational. It was in Maricopa, Arizona. We've talked about it here in the last couple of weeks. It's their first ever trip to a postseason tournament. Coach MJ Debian Shaw took her team into Arizona, her extremely young team, and they finished fourth out of 10 teams. That's an accomplishment in itself. And Olivia Coit with a top five finish in that tournament individually. So just a really, really nice season for the women's golf team.
Young team, and I know they're adding, you know, Caroline Hughes, a really good player out of Jonesboro High School, is getting added to that mix next year. So, they're certainly trending in the right direction, and glad to see them make the most of the program's first postseason experience.
Do want to mention the first Howl on Wheels event is coming up this Monday, the 20th. It'll be at the Soul and Spirits Brewery in Memphis. Looking forward to that. And then the very next night, the 21st, the Howl on Wheels Roadshow will be at Skinny J's in Paragould. Paragould, a new stop on the tour this year.
Well, that's right. Looking forward to that.
And then after Paragould, there's still four more events to come on the Howl on Wheels Roadshow. So check all the social media sites as well as astateredwolves.com. You can get all the information on the dates and times for Hal on Wheels, but really looking forward to being out there with all the coaches and Jeff Purinton and Dr. Shields. Just a really fun time last year, and we expect that again this time around.
I'd be interested to hear what those baseball guys thought, kind of my last thing here. And obviously, I think it's one of those deals that'll mean more to them later on. But, of course, a lot associated with that baseball weekend, a big senior day on Saturday because they had 15 players and three managers they recognized. But Saturday, you know, there were 13 members of the baseball team who could have walked in commencement the weekend before, and the team was out of town at JMU. And so we did a little pseudo commencement ceremony. Now, Dr. Shields was actually at the commencement in Mexico over the weekend. So Dr. David Kern, our faculty athletic rep, he donned his regalia and handed out the degrees. They're young, and so I'll be interested here, you know, later on in life, if they look back on it, what they remember about it. Because I went to the press box from the field for that ceremony to the press box, and Andy Shatley, who I, you know, do the ESPN Plus broadcast with, like the first thing he said to me was, "Hey, that thing like gave me goosebumps." And I was like, "Well, okay." But then Sunday down on the field for senior day, I was talking to Dr. Kern again, and he said, "Hey, that thing yesterday was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of."
Really?
And I was like, "Well, okay, now there's something to this." So, again, hopefully it's a memorable event for those guys who were literally handed their degrees from Arkansas State, standing on the field at the time.
I mean, that's really unique to be out there with your teammates all watching at the place where you spend the most time, at Tomlinson Stadium, and to be able to do that before the game. I thought it was really neat, too. So,
classic Will French, who was on the list, right? He graduated. He finished his degree in 3 years. And on Sunday, I was saying something to him about it. And he's like, "Yeah, I didn't even know. They just told me I had enough hours to be, had enough hours to graduate. So, okay."
That sounds about right.
He just goes about his work and sees where everything stands at the end. And that's, I guess, was his approach to his academics, too.
Hey, thanks again to Bella Cassetti coming in. Really enjoyed our visit with her. What a really nice young lady.
Yep.
And happy for everything that she's been able to accomplish to this point. Appreciate Caleb Garner for setting that interview up for us. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.